And thank you, Father. And I believe that as we come here and have come here with great desire, He will open the eyes of our understanding. He will open our hearts so that we can know Him greater. And as we're here together in this very loving setting and we've heard these wonderful words, we can even now see ourselves as we leave here changed and enriched and drawn closer in our relationship with Him. I have a question for you. How do you suppose it is that we, who were mere mortals, with all of our faults and foibles, yes, foibles, have been given an invitation, an entrance into the Creator of the universe's presence, where we can intertwine our hearts with His and have an intimate relationship with Him and live our lives that way? How did that happen? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And I can tell you, verses 1 through 3 basically said that we're a mess. We were a mess. And we, in fact, we were such a mess that we were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, with no way within ourselves to recover or to change that. So in verse 4 it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us." That's the greatest love. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Wasn't that the greatest rescue? "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The greatest honor. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." The greatest outpouring of grace. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Now, isn't that just the greatest gift? We received salvation, which gave us that entrance into the very presence of God. And this very intimate relationship that He has provided for us, that we have the privilege of enjoying, it's something that He initiated. And the way that happened, we're going to look at John 17, a familiar section of Scripture, I trust, for many of us, most of us, all of us. John 17 talks about a time that was just prior to Jesus Christ's betrayal and His capture, and He was praying for His disciples. And then in verse 20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." And those words have continued generation after generation. And here we are. We have heard and we have believed. Verse 21, "That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." Now just imagine Jesus Christ knowing what was about to happen, pouring out his heart before his Father, and saying that they may be one as we are one. And he was completely aware of that very intimate relationship with his Father. He was in it, and then he saw that he was going to be able to bring us into that same relationship. We may be one, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So you see that we have been ushered into that great presence of his Father and our Father by the great love and the obedience that he walked his life out right unto death. And he ushered us into that same intimate relationship with God. And he, as our head, is vitally interested and very much watchful of our lives, every aspect of our lives, as our Lord. We are forever intertwined, as he talked about in John, that verses we just read. We are forever eternally intertwined with him and with God and with one another. Isn't that amazing? And you can see that in places like 1 John 1:3. Our fellowship is with God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then that great fellowship that we have with one another. Another person I wanted to talk about is David. Remember David? He was called by God a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's how it reads in Acts 13:22. He was called a man after God's own heart who would fulfill all his will. Did he walk perfectly? No. He had a really big goof. A great falling away where he turned away from his focus on God's face. And, you know, in spite of that, he continued after he repented to have that great access to God's heart. Let's look in Psalm 139. You are going to love this. This is an outpouring of David's heart toward God. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast thoroughly examined me, and you know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising, and thou understandest my thought afar off. I came across a great translation called the Common English Bible. Stated another way, Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You understand me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans and my thoughts. Verse 3 in the King James, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Well, think of it as we are encompassed by the presence of God, individually and collectively. And as we walk forward on this path of life, he has preceded us in every experience. If we look back on any past experience, he was there. If we pause to look around, like right now, he is here. And every moment of every day, from the second that you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes and you think, oh, the sun has come up. Yet another day. God is faithful. And He is here right now. That is the way to start your day. Because if you don't, as you well know, the chatter begins, right? It's like, did the alarm really ring? Could I stay in bed just another few minutes? Oh my gosh, what do I have to do? Here's a little thing that I started doing a while back just to help myself. The second I open my eyes and I'm aware that I'm awake, my arms just go straight up like this. The reason I do that is it's a physical indicator to me. It captures my attention, and then I realize I am raising my hands to God. And the first thing I do is I open my hands to let go of my day. Let go. Father, it's yours. And then as they're open, you know what? He begins to fill me with thoughts and His desires. And then I walk forward. And certainly we do things in different ways to begin our day. And how quickly we become distracted. But we continue to bring our thoughts back to Him. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether, before it even comes out of our mouth. This is how intimately He is watching over us, and how He knows us, and He anticipates, and He realizes, He sees the end from the beginning, and He is there every second. You know, the second that you turn your thoughts to Him, He is like, focused exactly on you, and He is there to respond. Verse 5 in this Common English translation. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't fathom it. Verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. I think about that, you know, as you're reading through these verses, and you go to the Word and you begin to read and you begin to just think about them, and you contemplate and you meditate and you say to Father, what does this mean? You know, give me a picture or give me understanding. Well, when I got to this verse that says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you know what I thought of? You ever seen the program The Deadliest Catch? It's a program about these king crab fishermen out in the Alaskan Bering Sea. And that is the picture that I get. And really, it's likely that I will never go to that place. But I do know that if I ever did, He would be there. It says in this other translation, if I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. And then I want to go down to verse 17 and 18. Now, the other night, beautiful Trisha Fonda shared some verses at a fellowship. And this is among the verses that she shared. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Let's just think about that. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And then your heart just leaps and you go, he's thinking about me. And those are precious thoughts. And that means that I am precious to him. How great is the sum of them? Well, how great is the sum of them? You know, when I heard these verses, especially the next one, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. I thought, I've got to go to the beach. I could not wait to get down to the beach. And so yesterday I was very blessed. I got a text from Barney, and he said, let's get together and pray today. So he came over, and we spent some time praying, and I told him, I'd really like to go to the beach. And he kindly drove me down there. And so we had this beautiful walk on the beach. And as we're looking ahead, down at Mission Beach, and this time of year, it is just empty. You can practically have the beach to yourself. Just saying. It's right over there. So we're looking down, just, you can see miles of beach. And as we were leaving, I bent over and I just took my two hands and I just scooped up a handful of sand, just like that, my little hands, right? And we were just looking at this handful of sand and kind of moving it around, and I said, how many grains of sand do you think are there, Barney? Few hundred? Nah. Few thousand? Yeah, maybe even 10,000. You look at a handful of sand. Thousands, just in my hands, thousands of grains of sand. And then you look down the beach and you think, wow, that, look at that stretch of beach. And then think about maybe all the different beaches that maybe you've been to in your life. There's all kinds of beaches all over the world. Beautiful beaches. In Maui, there are black sand beaches, red sand beaches. In some areas of the world, there are beaches with sand that are broken pieces of coral, just tiny, tiny, tiny. I really got to thinking about this. I even Googled it. grains of sand, I want to see them magnified. Oh, if you do that, you are really going to be blessed. Every grain of sand is unique. Barney looks at me and goes, look at those grains of sand. I wonder if they're like snowflakes. You know how every snowflake is different? That's really what inspired me to look that up. Sure enough, if you do that, you're going to see that every grain of sand that was photographed and put on this website, beautiful, amazing, colorful. Okay, so the point is not the sand. The point is... Think about God's thoughts. Think about the Sahara Desert. I mean, come on, sand. He uses that to give us a visual. His thoughts toward us are more than we could count. And they're uniquely beautiful, each and every one of them. Well, to me, when I think about this, it magnifies my thoughts about him. And right away, I just want to turn my heart and my voice and everything about me in praise to him. I want to dance. I'm not going to do it right now. But it's, you know, an option that you could do in your life as you're praising God. So we have this incredible intimate fellowship with a Father, the creator of the universe, who loves us. We got that in manifestations, right? I love you, I love you, I love you. And then detail about why he loves us and how he loves us. We have the book of love right here. We have one another, ministers of love. As we put on the mind of Christ, what comes out of our mouth? That beautiful mind and love that was intertwined with his Father that ushered us then into that very same presence. Is there ever anything that hinders you from that intimate fellowship with God? We live in a life, in a world that is full of circumstances, full of distractions, full of time-consuming things. Our time could be consumed from the moment we wake up until the moment our head hits the pillow at night. And you know what? That happens. But it doesn't have to happen. Remember, you open your eyes, you put your thoughts on God, you move forward. Okay, let's talk about relationships, okay? So picture a relationship that is dear to you. Now, if the only time that you really engage in that relationship is, say, if you need something, or just in passing as something comes up, oh, by the way, this, or, I forgot to tell you about this, and then I'm busy doing that. You know, it doesn't work that way, and it doesn't work well that way with God, and we do go to him, Father, I got a question, what do I do now? And then you're off and running. Father, I need this, would you please supply a parking place? Okay, thank you, see ya. Then, when you go to, when you want to be in that place with Father. Hello? Oh. God's calling, right? God's calling. Come to me. Okay, so what I'm talking about is like a backwards relationship. It's a backwards approach to a relationship. We don't just go to God and say, I need this, this, and that, and oh, by the way, etc. All right, think of a human relationship. You meet someone. You have a friendship with someone. Well, how does the friendship grow? You begin to talk. You begin to communicate. The more time that you spend, maybe enjoyment develops. You want to share your heart. There's a trust relationship that grows. You begin to feel more and more safe. You want to spend time with that person. You realize, wow, this is really a thriving relationship. There's value between us. I can come to this person and they will overlook my faults. I can go to them when I'm down and they'll lift me up. And then what happens? You can't spend 24 hours a day every day with that person. Because you're busy, you're doing this, you're doing that. But when that relationship and that friendship becomes just dear and loving and fruitful, don't you just, like, God, I can't wait to get back to that person. I'll pick up the phone and call them. your heart yearns. You crave that. You know why? Because you're in a relationship where there's value, there's love, there's trust, there's comfort. So in that kind of a relationship, it's not just where you would send someone an occasional text, or when you might just see them in passing, hi, how you doing? Well, not so good. Okay, well, I'm really sorry to hear that. I gotta go, you know. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to illustrate that what we do first in this most precious relationship with God is we don't just read a random verse here and there. You know, we take that time. Picture yourself. All right. Jesus Christ, Mark 1:35, he rose a great while before day. He went into a solitary place and there prayed. Well, you may say, I'm not a morning person. It's okay. You might be a night person. Some people like to stay up really late, and that's when they're productive. It doesn't matter the time. It doesn't even matter so much the setting. But one thing that does matter is that you have quiet time. Quiet time. I figured out one time that during my lunch hour, my office is close enough that I can get in my car, I can be at the beach in 15 minutes, I can sit there for 30 minutes, a half hour, just watching the waves come in, spending time where there's no phones ringing, there's nothing but me and him and his beautiful masterpiece of a creation. Half hour, that's a lot to start with. You know what? The more you do that kind of thing, the more you will desire it. And you will find time, and you will make time. And then what will happen as your heart is just constantly being intertwined with his, strengthened, growing. You're saying, Father, teach me. I don't understand this. Father, what about instead of going to him for something, you say, Father, look at this beautiful setting. Look at the way these waves just come rolling in. Look at the magnitude of the sand. Oh my gosh. Your thoughts are like that. You know, you just engage in this conversation. And when you show up, he's delighted. And he responds to you very, very willingly. And I'll tell you something too. I can sit here all day and talk to you about getting into the presence of God. We can spend our lives thinking about the presence of God, how great it is, how amazing it is. But you know what? You got to go there. You got to go there. Whatever that means to you in your setting, in your home, with your schedule, with your life, you can figure that out. Even here right now, look at this. It's quiet. We're here with a group of loving people. We love God. We love one another. You know, each and every one of us yearn for that heart bond with God. And then as we each live lives like that, we come together and our hearts just melt into one another. And it doesn't take a lot of explanation. We can each look around this room and recognize we are with the beloved of God. What about all that other stuff? You know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. That was Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, remember? And then all that great love, the grace, the honor that he poured out on us. And then Jesus Christ takes us by the hand and walks us right into his presence. And that's where we are right now. I have been really blessed by a song. Some of you may have heard it. First of all, I want to read to you a verse. The name of the song is called Come to Me. I heard that a couple times this morning in Manifestations. Psalm 27:8 in the Amplified Bible, you know this. It says, you have said, seek my face. Inquire and require my presence as your vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek. In the New Living Translation, it says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk to me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Before Daniel plays this song, I wanted to read the words to you so you get them in there and then you can hear them. Come to me. I am the Lord your God. I go before you now. I stand beside you. I'm all around you. Though you feel I'm far away, I'm closer than your breath. I am with you more than you know. I am the Lord your peace. No evil will conquer you. Steady now your heart and mind. Come into my rest. Oh, let your faith arise. Lift up your weary head. I am with you wherever you go. Come to me. I'm all you need. Come to me. I'm your everything. Come to me. I'm all you need. Come to me. I'm your everything. I am your anchor in the wind and the waves. I am your steadfast, so don't be afraid. Though your heart and flesh may fail you, I am your faithful strength. I am with you wherever you go. Don't look to the right or to the left, but keep your eyes on me. You will not be shaken. You will not be moved. I am the hand to hold. I am the truth. I am the way. Just come to me. Come to me. Because I'm all that you need.
Just
that a beautiful song? That is sung by a sister in Christ. Her name is Jen Johnson. And I would encourage you to look on YouTube and watch the video. It's very moving. And very encouraging. I want to look at Psalm 16 with you. What an incredible life we have. And, you know, the moments and the hours and the days and the weeks and the years tend to go by. And the things, the circumstances, the situations, the distractions that prevent us from spending abundant time in that place, we need to put them in their rightful place. And the more that we go there and spend time in that precious presence, guaranteed, the more we will desire it, the more we will do it. And in Psalm 16, let's look at verse 11. How do we do it? Okay. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And those pleasures, they're pleasant, they're delightful, they're lovely, they're sweet, agreeable, beautiful, even musical things. That's where we thrive. And we are truly in this together. When we each spend time in that intimate place with Him, our relationships with one another will become deeper and more pleasant and beautiful and lovely and inspiring and comforting. And we can remind one another, and we can even lead one another back to that place. Here's a little example I thought of. I don't think she'd mind me sharing it, but when Rachel was still living at home, sometimes I'd be awake in the morning before her, and I'd knock on the door, and I'd go in, and I'd go over to her and say, Rachel, what? It's another great day to praise God. I just couldn't wait any longer to go in and tell her. And you know what she'd do? She'd smile. She'd just smile. And then she'd be on her way with her day. And truly, certainly, we can do that for one another all the time. Philippians 2. Let's just take a look. Let's take a look at that, how we do that. It's the perfect arrangement. We love God. We know He loves us. We know the world will know us by our love for one another. And we love one another. So it truly is the perfect arrangement. You look at the next person, you go, oh, I see Christ in you. And they're looking back going, oh, I see Christ in you. And then you begin to draw that out of one another, because believe me, that Christ in you is just wanting to leap out. Oh, gosh, isn't everyone just there except me? Philippians 2. Look at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, is there? If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, that's what we're talking about, that great full sharing. We have the same Spirit, one Lord, one love. If any bowels and mercies, that's deep. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, moving together in unison, passionately, toward what? Him, we are seeking His face. Of one mind. How in the world do you do that? We're so different. We have different thoughts, different opinions. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, because it's right here. We just keep reading. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I prefer you. I honor you. I hold you in high esteem. I love you. I appreciate you. I respect you. I recognize who you are. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And this is it. This is the crowning jewel right here for this teaching. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ yearns for the presence of God. So we put it on. And we walk in that loving, intimate, remarkable, yes, wonderful presence of God. You're welcome.
Yeah, I think she really brings up some...